Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening now officially to Friday morning's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. It is February 9th, 2007, about 1 minute past midnight here in the Central Time Zone. I want to welcome all of you wherever you might be listening around the planet to the program, whether you're listening on shortwave at 3.215 on the internet at republicbroadcasting.org or perhaps on our website at franklyspeakingradio.com. You're in for a real treat. If you missed the first hour, I would strongly urge you to find a way to go back and listen to that. And of course, pay close attention this hour, because what we're talking about here is the ultimate in solutions, the ultimate in security, the ultimate in privacy, the, absolutely legal methods to essentially disappear, to become invisible. And this is a great way to protect yourself and what you have, and even protect those you care about, because you never know. There are always crazies out there, and every single one of us has had a situation where maybe we want to throw our name into the search engine maybe and see what comes up. You know, what's out there? Maybe you have, I don't know, coworkers or ex-girlfriends or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're in a news story, or maybe you're confused with someone else. It's all about protecting yourself, either from malicious intent or perhaps from accidental, I guess you could say, blame. In, you know, incorporated with something else. But this is a vital, vital way to protect everything you've got. And I couldn't be a bigger fan of this man and his work. The book is called Privacy Crisis. The website, privacycrisis.com. Please welcome back to the show, Grant Hall. Thank you, sir.
Yes, Frank. May I just add a tail end on to what we were talking about
please,
before the break? You mentioned real name, and that has been a touchy subject with many people. And as we've spoken before, I tell you, I'm not at all reserved about speaking about this topic, because I've had occasion to test everything in the book, everything. And I know that everything works, and everything I tell you is going to be legitimate. In terms of when you should use your real name, let me give you some examples. If you're liable for U.S. taxes, I believe that is one time you need your real name, and obviously. The credit bureaus are going to need your real name, but you can lock that file up, and nobody's going to have access to it, because you're going to have the passcode, and only those that you let into it and only those you currently do business with are going to be able to see your credit report if you do it right. You have to fill out a form, and you have to go through the diligence of doing that. But you want credit, contrary to what another person or two has to say about the subject. You want the advantage of good credit so that you can utilize leverage. That's very, very important, and I teach you how to do that if you read the chapter on that. I've had occasion to do all of these things over many years. I've been in business for a long time. So they're going to need your real name as well. Your banking and brokerage account, well, not necessarily, because we use front entities for those, depending on your circumstances. And there's even a resource in the book. It's called 24/7 Private Vaults, Las Vegas, Nevada, that you can basically store all your valuables without providing any identification whatsoever.
That's beautiful.
No Social Security numbers, no tax ID numbers, no credit cards. This is the most amazing business I've ever seen in my life, and that's what I do for a living besides write books, is I evaluate companies. I've never seen a business I'm more enthused about than this anonymous type of private vaults that is just a privacy seeker's dream.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's definitely the kind of thing we would all sort of fantasize about, and it is a reality, so this is really exciting. When we come back, Grant, I'd like to explore that a little further and maybe why... You know, what you'd suggest about people using, you know, things, you know, security boxes in banks and whatnot.
Attention, attention, everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wristies provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wristies now at wristies.com. That's Wristies, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, Wristies.com. Once again, that's Wristies, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. It's Friday morning, and you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest this evening has a lot of information. In fact, I think, again, if you pick this book up and you study it, you will find that you are pretty much set with sort of a brand new focus, something that will keep you busy as you seek to implement these things for a long time, and probably, again, you take it to the extent that you want, and you'll be far, far better off than you are at this exact moment. Grant Hall, welcome back, sir.
Yes, you were mentioning off-site storage facilities, I believe. And
safety deposit boxes,
as well as
things
safety
like
deposit
that.
Boxes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Well, let's put this in two categories. Basically, people, in my opinion, should have an off-site storage facility to keep certain records and so forth, including tax records and just records and possessions that they don't want in their home for whatever reason. And let's be straightforward and honest about this. Raids on people's homes for no reason are unprecedented today. So I think it's prudent to have an off-site storage facility for the purpose of having your private possessions segregated from your home. And secondly, those portions of your portfolio or those possessions that are extremely valuable, you need to have in a safe deposit box. Banks have been the traditional way that people have stored these valuables. However, banks are only open 9 to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And and you have to jump through hoops to get your, you know, to get through, and you have to sign this and sign that, and maybe they'll let you in, maybe they won't. There's an innovator in Las Vegas, Nevada. His name is Mr. Elliott. He's a privacy, world-renowned privacy expert. He's a friend of mine, and he developed a business a few years back. It's called 24/7 Private Vaults. You don't need any identification to get into this. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it is conceivable that you could store your entire wealth in this facility without ever having anybody know who you are as you walk in and out the door.
I love that. That's just beautiful. You know, one of the things that a lot of people have done is they do agree that maybe they don't want everything out there under their own roof. But at the same time, you know, I guess it's perhaps my experience, perhaps it's just simply my level of caution or paranoia, Grant, but I wouldn't want my stuff to be in a bank per se because, you know, I know it's a bank and I know I'm supposedly insured to a certain degree, but at the same time, I don't necessarily trust them. I've seen emails going around where they'll say, hey, look, in the event of some sort of economic crisis or whatnot, they have instructed the banks not to let people remove anything that's not a document per se. So money, gold, jewels, various things that are valuable, they would, in essence, sort of control that. I don't want to simply say, well, I don't want it in my house, but I want to give control to someone else, someone who I maybe think is untrustworthy.
Well, contrary to what most people think, the safe deposit boxes aren't insured anyway in banks.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Well, they're certainly not, huh. And this is, as far as I know, they're not. I've called bankers on that very point and asked, and they've told me no, it's not, after they called two or three people and asked them. I mean, that's the information I have today.
Yeah.
It's possible, I believe, to put riders on certain other policies that you have, like homeowners, et cetera, and get coverage in a bank vault box, but I wouldn't use them either for the same reason you mentioned.
I
would much rather use a private facility for the reasons that they have much more to gain by having good customer service.
Yes.
And it's also always an advantage to do business with reliable private entities that have no government affiliation, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree with that, because obviously then they don't necessarily have the thumb of bureaucracy pressing down on them on a regular basis, or they can just have these things be implemented. And we've seen many, many times over the years when you've got, I'll give you an example, the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was passed, and everybody said, well, yeah, that's good. We should definitely go after terrorists. But then, you know, they mentioned about financial institutions, and everyone's like, oh, yes, well, you know, here you've got banks, and terrorists want to have bank accounts, and sure, I guess that makes sense. Well, then they went back and they, you know, a couple years later, they redefined what a financial institution was. And this included now car dealerships and casinos and anything that would be, you know, significant amounts of money passing through. And all of a sudden you start to say, well, you know, hey, wait a minute here. This isn't right. You're changing the whole point of this law. And then, of course, other areas that we've seen as well pop up would be voluntary compliance, perhaps voluntary. We don't know what happens behind the scenes. Various airline agents or various airlines have complied with agencies' requests for passenger manifests and things like that, things they weren't technically supposed to do. So, you know, this is a situation where you have to realize that when you're assuming that someone else is going to look out for your best interests, don't necessarily put your faith in that. I don't put my faith in a certain airline or in a certain bank just because they say, hey, we're trustworthy. To me, it's not enough. I have to have a certain amount of you know, my fingerprints on my stuff. So that's just where I am.
Well, what you're seeing in a lot of cases is a marriage between government and corporations, and we know what the definition of that is. But the point is you want to be very, very careful and make certain that the people you deal with are not just trying to steer you in a direction that's for their own self-interest. For example, many times when I've come up against resistance as I've done banking, I've had assistant level managers in banks say, oh, because of the Patriot Act. Well, have you read the Patriot Act, ma'am or sir? No, they haven't, but they know that they have to get ID and they have to get Social Security numbers. Even if you've got another entity that holds the account that's incorrect, the law specifically states that you must know your customer. If that were the case, you wouldn't see the lines many people in line that don't have Social Security numbers that they're giving bank accounts to. They're the illegal aliens in the country. So you need to know, first of all, be educated about what you're up against, and secondly, have the assertive power and the skills, the people skills, to deal effectively, and it requires persistence and it requires information. So that's how you gain real privacy in your business and in your personal life.
I think that's excellent, excellent advice. Let's talk about this as far as when we're talking about, you know, places to put maybe your property and whatnot. How do you feel about storage facilities? you know, I pretty much know, you know, a pretty good idea of how it works and whatnot. But certainly a lot of people might say, well, I'd never put my stuff in a storage facility because obviously they know, you know, when I type in the code and the little gate opens, they know when I was there, they know who I am. And a lot of people might say, well, you know, I tried to send my my statement to them and it was a couple days late, so they just, you know, they broke the lock off and they confiscated all my stuff or whatever the case may be. People might feel certain ways about storage facilities. How do you feel about them?
I feel like they're really an important resource to use in your privacy plan.
Yes.
And it's been my experience that they have very lenient policies in terms of payments and so forth. I think you've got usually a 10-day grace period in my experience. The way I believe that is the most private way to handle this kind of a an account would be to have a front entity holding the account, and then you as an individual being the signer, whereas in the database, the front entity, whether it be a trust or an LLC or whatever other entity you chose to use, would be the actual account holder, but you would have authorization to sign on behalf of that entity, and therefore it should keep you out of the database and keep you your affairs private in that regard. There's privacy seekers also that have opened these in alternate names, and that has been done pretty effectively. The thing I want to mention is you want to be able to lay claim to your property. So if you use an alternate name, you've got to be careful with that. I mean, you don't want to put yourself in a bind to where you have trouble making claim to your property if you need to. So therefore, you need to have an education and know what is the best strategy in your particular case.
I think that's excellent advice. Absolutely. Well, let's talk then about, you know, you said laying claim to your property. Let's talk about, you know, where you live. Obviously, that's something to consider. What about owning a home versus renting a home? Is there an advantage to one or to the other, perhaps?
Well, I have done both, and I think that's an individual choice, depending on a lot of circumstances, your needs, and what your family obligations are, and the number of people that are in your household, the market, the real estate market, your budget, et cetera, et cetera. But either one will work fine for privacy, but you must know what you're doing. You must know how to make yourself anonymous in terms of owning property. The most effective way to own a personal residence for privacy purposes is to utilize a trust to hold the property and also to utilize a certain kind of trustee, a clerical person, an administrative trustee, to sign on the dotted line when the property has to be registered in the county seat or wherever.
Grant, let me jump in here real quick for a short break. Folks, please stay with us. Don't miss a second of our guest, Grant Hall. We'll be right back.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
We're back, my friends, and you are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing planet-wide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're chatting with our good friend Grant Hall, author, researcher, privacy expert, and the book is called Privacy Crisis. Website, same name, privacycrisis.com. Grant, welcome back. When we left off, you were talking about a trust. I guess let's dumb this down for people who are, you know, on my level. What is a trust?
Oh, Frank, it's just a paper document.
Okay.
An attorney has always prepared mine, but there's certain components that have to be necessary. And essentially what it does is give you as trustee control over the trust, but the trust acts as a separate entity, just like a separate person, except it can't do the things a human can do, of course, and it legally holds the property.
Ah, I see. And how is that advantageous?
It's advantageous because it takes your name off of the documents and off of the records that are required for home ownership, as an example, which is a database, or your name, if you own it the traditional way, as an individual, is going to be in the county records and available to anybody that wants to take the time and effort to go down in the courthouse or do any other kind of database search and find out where you live and who owns the property. Whereas a trust, if it's held anonymously in a trust, nobody would have a clue who would own that if you put it in a name that's unrelated to yours, and especially if you utilize a principle called the administrative trustee, whereas you have a person sign when it's required to sign records attesting to the trust having certain requirements being met and so forth. So you keep your entire name off of it except in the trust documents, which don't have to be registered anywhere either. That's another beautiful point about a trust is it doesn't have any requirements of being registration requirements in any of the states that I know about.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's really, it's just a giant and an additional roadblock you can throw up for somebody trying to hunt down information on you.
Absolutely. That's and as we mentioned earlier, the home is your most essential part of your privacy plan that must be kept confidential. And a trust for ownership when you own a home is going to insulate you, providing that you do it right and you utilize all the other types of information that you need to in order to keep your life private. There's the home section of this particular book is a big section. It's about four chapters, and there's a lot of different options there that can be accomplished by anybody, whether they choose to rent or own property.
I think that's incredible. Let me ask you this. To be an administrative trustee, is that a situation where you would need to use your real name, or could you simply, you know, have an alias, I guess, or a nickname, something like that?
An administrative trustee is just generally a person that is assigned the duty of signing on the dotted line. Generally, they use their real names. Many times, they'd be an office manager. A lot of times, attorneys act as an administrative trustee, and they just do all the signature work when it comes through their across their desk and so forth. So that's not something. What that is that's a nominee of sorts, Frank, that you just appoint to sign, and they just usually, you know, you can pay them a nominal fee to do that as well.
I see. And that's something I need to get into with you as well. As far as a nominee, why are they important? And what sort of criteria should you use to make that decision?
Well, if I were going to use a nominee, which I do on occasion, I would be very, very careful who I selected. Unlike some other folks that have written about the subject, I am very particular about who I do business with. I don't want town drunks holding my bank accounts. I don't want illegal aliens holding my utility accounts, et cetera, et cetera. I'm very careful. I do my business under contract, and the person has a vested interest in doing things right when I appoint them and hire them as a nominee subcontractor. They have consideration in the contract. They're paid well for their services, and they do it right. They will handle my account and basically be the front person for my account so that my, for example, a utility account that I don't want in my name, I might appoint a nominee, but I would certainly make sure that they were credible because if they're not, guess whose door they're going to knock on, and guess who is going to spill the beans and tell them who really holds that account?
Yes, which is obviously precisely what you're trying to avoid.
Yes.
And it looks like we're coming up on another break here in a minute, but we can get started on this. What other sort of scenarios? And you know, I know as you being a consultant and whatnot, you've talked to a lot of people. What are some other areas that maybe some people who you've spoken with have used nominees to be a part of their process of invisibility?
You're talking about what kind of accounts or what purposes they use a nominee for?
Yeah. Not necessarily just utilities, but other things as well.
Sure.
And there is the music. I apologize, my friend. Folks, stay with us. And again, while you sit on the edge of your seat, as I am, awaiting Grant's next answer, please, by all means, go to the website, privacycrisis.com, and read about this book and consider adding this to your information arsenal. Folks, we shall return in 3 minutes. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest, Grant Hall. We'll get to him in just a second. Let me remind you first, though, this hour is being brought to you by BioSolutions, featuring one of the most advanced RF machines available to the public. BioSolutions has the solution for your good health. You can call them toll-free at 886-885-6625 with questions about your health situation, or visit them online and read it for yourself, www.natural-solution.com, natural-solution.com. Our guest website is privacycrisis.com, and that's what we're discussing here, book of the same name, and our security and privacy expert, Grant Hall. Welcome back. So when we left off, we were discussing what a nominee can be utilized for.
Right, and I'd like to divide these into proper use and also improper use of nominees, because I think this is important for people to understand, is you do not want to relinquish your power to anybody else just for the sake of privacy. You're going to get yourself in trouble if you do that. People that recommend this are just not either experienced or they're writing from a theoretical standpoint entirely. Suffice it to say that I'm a business person. I've had the occasion to experience this, and so I've I've had a lot of advice as well as a lot of practical experience when I speak about these things. Property, money, bank accounts, big no-no. I would not recommend anybody use a nominee to hold these kinds of properties. Rare exception, possibly if somebody's disabled, incapacitated, incapable of making a decision, maybe to give power of attorney to a very reputable business attorney of which they've had a very long-standing relationship with. That's a possible exception. I would not use a nominee either for the purpose of renting a residence, just for the sake of concealing your identity as you want privacy. I think that's a very bad idea. I think you need to be there when this property is rented, and what you call yourself is your business, and how you pull that off is based on who you are dealing with and what the requirements are for that particular property. But I think it's a bad idea to have a person, a nominee, rent a property for you, then you show up suddenly to live there.
Yes. Very, very good point. And you actually have, just as far as improper or maybe bad choices, you have some examples in the book, too, of people who maybe thought they could trust family members and whatnot, and maybe that family member has a problem. I don't know what it could be. Gambling addiction, perhaps. You don't want them to have access to everything you own.
That's right, and that's the very problem you can run into if you entrust the wrong person just for the sake of privacy. People do that all the time, and they're making bad choices, in my opinion. I think the real problem here is people not understanding what they really need in order to make themselves and their lives and their property private. That's all doable if you have the right information and the right resources, and if you studied and listened and read the right resources. The proper use of nominees. I'm involved with the ebook, as you know, and I work with the publisher on that. Today, I emailed my website person, Kevin Waite, and told him, well, I'm going to nominate you just to sign for this security contract that we're implementing here as a second security feature on this ebook. And that's one proper use of nominee, in my opinion. You can have somebody sign any kind of document, a tax return if you're absent, a company meeting document. You could have utilities taken out in the name of a nominee if he or she agreed to do that. You could have cable television, trash, all these routine things. It just requires somebody to stand in for you. But you don't want to bet the farm on somebody else and just give them power to hold your property.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about this then, speaking of property as well. And you mentioned this as well about mail being delivered to your home. That's just a big no-no. What about other things? What about deliveries? And we mentioned this in our last interview, deliveries of appliances or something maybe relatively frivolous like the delivery of some food because you don't feel like cooking.
Oh, my own opinion is I wouldn't have deliveries to the house, the routine ones like the pizza and that sort of thing, but that's my own preference. You might be able to get away with that if you're careful, but I just wouldn't do that. In terms of appliances, there's a step-by-step process that's always a little more inconvenient and probably a little more costly than the normal way of life, but your privacy is assured when you just have an intermediate place for the appliance to be dropped off and then have a separate crew deliver that on to your actual home, and you know, you don't have to tell them very much about yourself. Sure. As that's delivered, but it keeps your name out of and your address out of the database of the store, for example, if you have a refrigerator or a bed or something delivered. If you tell them where you live, you know, they're going to be sending you this and sending you that and maybe sending somebody over. I don't know.
Sure. Same thing with telephones, I would imagine, as well.
Oh, yes. Telephones are a real our potential problem. It's really not difficult to handle your communication system because with the demand for privacy has come a number of companies that will give you the ability to be anonymous in your communication. The landline telephones are probably the most privacy invasive because your actual location can be traced pretty easily from a landline phone.
I see. Yeah, that's an excellent point. I remember the first time they implemented things like that, I had called and I believe I ordered a pizza, and they said, are you located at blah, blah, blah? And I was shocked. It was much like you know, I expected that sort of technology maybe at 911, but not at Pizza.
Isn't that amazing that they have that facility? Yeah, they. I guess they probably have some people that call them and don't really want the pizza or whatever reason. They have that that convenience of knowing where they live. But I don't think it's a good idea to have pizza delivered, frankly.
I think that, yeah, just avoid it.
I go out and eat the pizza or cook it myself.
Something. There you go. No, that's an excellent point. It just goes to show you, if you're serious about this, you really need to consider every single option, even, again, something that might be deemed to be perhaps paranoid or whatnot. I've been accused of being paranoid many, many times, and I said, hey, I'm doing pretty well so far, so it must be working for me. But that's a good point. And again, if Pizza Hut, for example, has that technology, and I hope we haven't lost them as a sponsor, not that we have them right now, but, you know, if Pizza Hut has that technology 10 years ago, you know, who has it today? Everybody, you know? I remember there was a time when Google had a little flaw where if you typed in your phone number, it would tell people where your address was. And that, again, that was just, oops, you know, we screwed up. We shouldn't have had this information accessible. And, of course, after you did that, and I tested this myself on myself to make sure that I wasn't listed like that. But it said, do you need directions? Go to Google Maps. And it's like, gosh, could they make this any easier for somebody wanting to harm you? So, you know, you do have to consider everything. You have to maybe just avoid everything you possibly can if you're serious about this, especially if your life is in jeopardy. And again, I know women who've had, you know, crazy stalker ex-boyfriends, ex-husbands, as I mentioned, and this is a, you know, this is a life or death situation for them, for example.
Well, yes, it is, and there's various levels of seriousness to a given problem. It's an adjustment, but after a while, if you're serious about it and if you have the right information and it's if you model correctly after people who have been successful doing it, then it becomes second nature, and it's really not that hard work.
It
would be hard work, though, if you were being stalked. That would be hard because you'd have to, you know, be very cognizant of that.
And you'd have to be probably implement a lot of these very, very rapidly. But at the same time, you know, one of the things I've done recently, Grant, and I will say this on the record, that I have begun to implement a lot of the recommendations and a lot of the ideas in this book, which has been such a fantastic how-to guide for me. But even, you know, as in the last year or so, I've begun to change my eating habits. And at first, it was a hassle to look at the list, but then, you know, of ingredients in different foods. But then I realized, you know, it's really nothing to me now. At this point, it's second nature. It's old hat. Again, as you had stated, it's no inconvenience. It's just that we have become accustomed to, like you said, convenience. We've been told, oh, this is easier. This is more convenient. Most people relinquish their control with the promise of convenience for themselves. And that, to me, is resulted in where we are today.
Yes, they do, and also it's amazing to me in just everyday life how easy people do give up information, and it's like they don't seem to question anything in many cases unless they're in the know. And it's important to have your priorities straight and to have the information. And then when a banker or a clerk yells across the room and say, what's your social? And so you don't yell it back and tell the whole room your social security number. I mean, it's just really important to respect yourself enough to keep your life under your control.
Yes, absolutely. It's a vital component. Let's discuss another angle, perhaps. I guess you could call it an LLC. What is it, and why is it something people should maybe consider?
Well, limited liability companies are just entities as a business entity, and I don't give recommendations on how to use business entities because I've always used attorneys for that, and I'm not a lawyer. But I have used these in my life at the advice of an attorney. LLCs are generally used for investments of real estate in some cases. Sometimes they're used to hold service businesses, etc. You can even use an LLC as a general partner for a limited partnership. Because that constitutes a separate entity, and that is one component of the limited partnership. So they have a variety of uses.
Sure.
You could put any number of properties at the advice of your attorney in the name of an LLC.
That's fantastic. I wanted to ask you about this because this is something I was just discussing with a friend the other day. They said they wanted to basically have an RV and just travel the country. Is that something that you can utilize in the course of remaining invisible, or is that impossible?
Well, in the book, I talk about mobile living, and that, based on the research I've done, is one of the most doable ways to be invisible, as you say. RVs could be held in a trust, and they could be registered that way, and even there's insurance policies that can be purchased in the name of the trust, and basically your name would just be in the fine print someplace if you know who to go to and know how to structure this. And a lot of this is finding the people that will do it that way, or finding the people that will write it your way. And first of all, you have to know what you want and why you want it the way you want it. I said a lot of wants there, but you have to know what it is you require, and then find the people that have the capability of giving you that. And RVs, as you say, can be are very private. They can be registered in another entity, and they're mobile, so you have a distinct advantage in that respect.
It's fantastic. Now, obviously, something that would come up there would be mail as well. And when you're traveling, perhaps, you need your mail sent to a certain location. Would that be a usage of a nominee?
Yes, I call them mail drop or mail nominees. Just a third party that you've got an agreement with. Once again, you need to be careful because you need to hire the right person to do that. But they can just forward that on to you, whether you're traveling or whether you're stationary, and it gives you a large measure of security to have your mail on record, because there's going to be some people that are going to have something with your name on it and an address there, and so you need to have that far away from where you actually reside, because the government databases, any number of those, are going to have your name in them with an address, and so you need to have that part of your life private, so that there's no connection between your actual home address and even your business address, in my opinion, from the addresses that are on record that have your name on them.
I understand. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'd like to, of course, offer people the opportunity to call in here and ask some questions with you while we still have time. Folks, our phone number is 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. And I also wanted to ask you about this. What is a location illusion?
Oh, I just use that, I think, as that's a good a good question, actually. When you establish your mailing address, what you're really doing is creating a location illusion. In other words, an illusion from where you are perceived to be, i.e. the mailing address, as opposed to where you actually are. For example, you could even have an offshore address be your primary address if you chose to, and people might think that you were even in another country, when in reality you might be right under their nose. That has happened. So you can create a tremendous effective location illusion just by the proper use of nominees, as you mentioned, for the purpose of receiving and forwarding mail, or any number of things, whereas you use other people and other locations to present you and your property as being in a location where they're not, actually not. And this is for privacy purposes.
Yes.
It's not for any type of any covert illusion, except for the fact that you want your privacy.
Yes, and I think that's a vital component as well. You know, in that regard, let's say, for example, you wanted to send something that you needed to have mailed from a different location. I've actually, and obviously being in the media, I get a lot of mail. Now, I've received mail that has been opened by the post office, presumably, or someone else. And, of course, it's very shoddily sort of rewrapped, and there's a little sticker that they slap on it that said this has been you know, scanned, screened, whatever the case may be, whatever the terminology is. As far as that goes, how do you counter mail being opened and examined? Are there ways to do that?
In terms of doing that, there's a variety of ways, but I think you brought up two points. One was a remailing situation, whereas somebody else, which you can arrange that as well, to which is sometimes very good business sense.
Sure.
If you're in another part of the country and you just forgot to mail a letter, for example, if you're in New York and you just overlooked mailing a piece, and you might want to just have that mailed from New York to let the party know that you didn't just forget him and it was, in fact, mailed from that location. That you didn't have to mail it when you were in California and put him as a low priority or something of that nature. The other part that you're talking about is about your mail and your privacy being breached by presumably somebody in a postal service or something of that nature, or just it could have been a mistake, but those things happen. And
yes.
Many times when I receive, not many times, I shouldn't say it that way, but a few times I have received mail forwarded from overseas and it's been stamped with a U.S. Customs stamp saying,
yes.
Well, we have opened your mail. We think it's okay. Here it is for you.
I
don't like that when it happens, because then they get to look at and see what
yes.
I've received and they know some of my business that I wish
oh,
I
yeah,
didn't
know. Absolutely. Hang on a second, my friend. We're going to pause here for a quick break, folks, but we'll be right back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
I'm gonna take it all lying down. Cause once I get started, I go to town. Cause I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. Very, very, very important information, my friends. Everybody out there has something worth fighting for, something worth protecting, something worth preserving. And odds are, you know, the best thing to do is to start with yourself and then work out from there. You know, you're not going to improve society if everybody individually is still in a really awful place. And my guest, of course, is affording some great opportunities with this how-to book called Privacy Crisis. And you can go to the website and read about it there, privacycrisis.com. I'd like to take some phone calls, folks. So jump on the phone right now, get in line, and we'll see if we can't convince our guests to stay on a little bit longer. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Grant Hall, welcome back, sir.
Yes, hi.
Thank you again so much. I'm sorry we had to interrupt there, a quick break. They just come on really quick when you're having fun, when you're learning stuff. Time flies. So, but when we left off, we were talking about mail security and whatnot.
Right. Some of it's going to be, I suppose, intercepted and inspected by the customs, et cetera, when it comes from overseas. Really, there's no excuse for it otherwise, as far as I know. Your mail is supposed to be your private business, and so I don't have any patience for people that would open your mail.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Let's go to Brenda in Illinois. Brenda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, up later than usual, but I have a question and a comment. I can sort of understand why the pizza companies would want to have a caller ID, because, I mean, when they send the drivers out, sometimes they go to a bogus address and they can verify the caller ID so the driver doesn't get robbed. Or having been a cab driver overnight, you go out to a bogus address and you can get robbed, killed, whatever. So for that, I can see security reasons. At the other side of the coin, I can see privacy reasons. But the question I have is, you go to a lot of stores and you purchase something, and the first question the cashier asks you is zip code. And I'm wondering, you know, I asked them why, and they turned out, well, we just want information for records. Well, I've asked them, do I have to give it? Well, sure. So, I mean, is there any way around this?
That's an excellent question. Before I let Grant answer, because we are coming up on the legal identification break here, I will say this, that I have worked at some retail jobs as well. And most of the time, what they do is that they're curious about, you know, how far are people traveling to go to our particular store? You know, for example, if they see that you're from the neighboring town, and maybe the neighboring town has a Walmart or something and you work at Walmart, why are they coming to your Walmart instead of their own? You know, something like that. And also, you know, working at a radio station, when we do prize forms, things like that, we do have little you know, sign-up sheets that someone might fill out. And in which case, if we see that they're listening, 60 miles away and they're driving in to enter into contests, we're like, wow, you know, we must be doing something right. So that's one possibility. And we will let Grant respond to this, but let's just hold over to the break. Grant, can you hang over a little bit longer?
Oh, certainly, sure.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Grant's website, ladies and gentlemen, is privacycrisis.com. You can, of course, get the book as an e-book. And the book itself can also be purchased in hardback, which I always prefer because you never know when your computer might get hacked, for example. Privacy Crisis Identity Theft Prevention Plan and Guide to Anonymous Living. We'll come back here in just a minute, and we'll let Grant respond to Brenda's question, and we'll you know, see if she has more. And, of course, we'll interact with the rest of you. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. You better get in line now, folks. We're back with more Frankly Speaking Radio in about 90 seconds. Stay with us.